student success goes beyond numbers. It means that every student, especially our first generation students, feel like they belong. They are supported in their academic journey and has access to the tool that they need to thrive. If a student is struggling, our responsibility is to show up with the right resources. So yes, metric matters, of course, retention rates, timely graduation, student engagement, all help measure impact. But what I really look for are signs that our technology investments are removing barriers.
Welcome to the EdTech Connect podcast, your source for exploring the cutting-edge world of educational technology. I'm your host, Jeff Dillon, and I'm excited to bring you insights and inspiration from the brightest minds and innovators shaping the future of education. We'll dive into conversations with leading experts, educators, and solution providers for transforming the learning landscape. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. Sit back, relax, and let's dive in. Dr. Bao Zhouri is the Vice President for Information Technology and Chief Information Officer at Fresno State, where she leads with a mission to empower the university through strategic partnerships, user-centered services, and technology-driven innovation in education and research. With over two decades of experience spanning higher education and the private sector, she embodies the modern CIO, one who moves beyond infrastructure to serve as a strategic partner in solving complex challenges and advancing institutional goals. Dr. Zhouri has fostered deep collaborations with faculty on grant-funded initiatives in ag tech, cybersecurity, and digital equity, bringing together technology and academic expertise to drive innovation across disciplines. Now, she's leading Fresno State's AI initiative, engaging more than 60 faculty and staff to thoughtfully integrate AI into teaching, learning, and operations, preparing the campus community to thrive in an AI-enabled future. Launching in the fall of 2025, her latest effort, the CIO's AI Conversation webinar series, will explore the theme, Redefining Learning, Teaching, and Working. This series aims to normalize the use of AI in higher education, promote responsible adoption, support institutional strategy, and foster meaningful dialogue across campus. In recognition of her visionary leadership, Dr. Zhouri was named one of the top women leaders in technology for 2025. Grounded in community service and fluent in both English and Hmong, Dr. Zhouri is a champion for inclusive innovation. Well, welcome to the show, Bao. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, let's start by talking about a little bit about your background. You began in the private sector before moving to higher ed IT leadership. What drew you to the campus environment and what keeps you energized today?
Well, it feels so long ago. So I've spent over 15 years, yes, in the private sector before transitioning to higher ed. And what really drew me to the campus environment was really personal. As a proud three-time graduate of Sac State, and I know firsthand how transformative higher education can be. It opened doors for me, and returning in 2018 as the senior director of planning and strategic project was a way of giving back to the institution that really have helped shape my journey.
Well, I love that you're in higher ed. We've had some overlap in our careers, and it's great to see what you're doing at Fresno State. And you're chairing the Technology Steering Committee there, I understand. How do you translate campus priorities into an actionable IT strategy without boiling the ocean, you could say?
You know, thank you for asking that question. And I'm going to have to be really honest in this response that it's definitely a very challenging task. I rely heavily on the Technology Steering Committee as a governing body. It brings people in so many ways, their voices across the campus, and that collaborative structure is key to aligning IT strategy with institutional priorities. Also, translating like broad campus goals into actionable IT initiative takes ongoing conversations. Priorities can look very different depending on someone's role or perspective. So part of the work is in building shared understanding and consensus. once we align on a particular initiative, we scope it out into a project and then prioritize it alongside with others. I always say with limited capacity, we have to be strategic. We focus on what's most impactful and feasible within each academic year. It's less about boiling the ocean and more about making deliberate, meaningful progress, one project at a time.
Being more agile in every way, I guess.
Perfect,
right?
Yeah.
What I really want to talk about, because I'm excited to follow what you're doing there, is the AI initiative. You're piloting this university-wide AI initiative that I understand comes from the highest levels. Tell us about the initiative and what early wins or aha moments that you've maybe convincing skeptics that AI can really lift teaching and learning.
Yeah, so maybe I'll give a little background. So in October of 2024, our president launched the AI initiative and named myself as well as the vice provost to kind of co-lead this initiative. I think that was a strategic move. I really appreciate the partnership because that really helps the campus move forward. You know, we really need the academic, if you will, structure in place. In terms of win, I think one of the biggest early wins has been creating a structure to support this initiative. We now have 5 AI committees with over 60 faculty and staff serving across them. The fact that these committees, you know, are led by faculty who are not only engaged, actively advocating for AI integration, that to me is a major success in itself. Another key, I think, moment was when faculty on these committee began asking me directly to procure and provision AI tool. I think that shift from curiosity to demand is a strong sign of growing trust and momentum in terms of where we're going in this space. Our faculty, by talking to them, and again, with so many faculty being part of this initiative, I think that's one of the pluses, is that faculty have shared and they know that their students are already using AI. Another indicator, I think, of this shift was our AI Immersion Day, as if you may have seen on the website on March 20th, is that we really had over 250 faculty and staff attend. And some of them actually presented how they're already integrating AI into their teaching and research. And the energy in the room really showed that AI is already taking roots here at Fresno in meaningful ways.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the things you're saying there with faculty. I've also noticed that in the absence of digital governance, the decisions are often left all the way down to the faculty members. So students are subject to a spectrum of different opinions of AI. And this was really obvious when ChatGPT launched in 2022. But Tell me a little bit about how you handle the digital governance part of it. Like, are there guidelines in place at that level, at the academic level, to help guide faculty? It sounds like they're already embracing it, which is great, but I'm interested in any framework you have to help them realize what the guardrails are.
There are guardrails. I think one of the AI committee is the AI Policy, Ethic, and Governance Committee, and they were really instrumental in setting the guardrails. And so I think before we went into the AI Immersion Day, we established and published the general AI guidelines on the webpage. We've communicated that. We also have guidelines for faculty, guidelines for students. I think that was instrumental in getting us to really provision ChatGPT for our faculty and staff. One of the requests, and I have been really trying to be a lockstep with the Academic Senate, is listening and making sure that their feedback is incorporated in the plan and in the strategy moving forward. So as part of that, was really just provisioning for faculty and staff and working with them. So we've been working really alongside since March, and we are just about to really enable, if you will, ChatGPT for our students. And this is really trying to be thoughtful as we kind of put this structure, not only the guardrails, but making sure that we have training that are going to be alongside with our faculty and staff, and making sure that we're in lockstep to make sure that we're AI responsible moving forward.
And I'm curious, how are you and your team using AI in your daily work?
I'll start with myself. We know, talk about and lead this AI. So I have to make sure that I share that I do use AI frequently. It has become a valuable part of how I work, right? I primarily use it as a brainstorming partner when, you know, I'm working on strategy, when I'm working on initiative or refining communication. my executive assistant, she was just sharing this, Bao, you need to start telling people that I also use AI. And so she's also integrating AI into her workflow to help polish and streamline communication. But I have to be, you know, transparent that across, you know, my team, a few staff members are exploring AI tools for tasks like coding and automation, while there are others that are still approaching it with caution, which I think is very healthy. Even within IT, I mean, there is a range of comfort levels and perspectives. Some are leading the way, others are waiting to see how the space evolves. And there are countless, if you will, use cases emerging, but we're also trying to be really mindful of the challenges, particularly around data privacy, intellectual property, and copyright. I think these are areas where we still need clarity, and we're working together, we're committed to navigating them carefully. But ultimately, in my opinion, AI is a tool, and how we use it and the thoughtfulness we bring to that use is what really makes the difference.
I've talked to a lot of schools that are at different parts of this AI adoption, you know, spectrum, and I'm a little surprised at how many people are reluctant to share that they are using AI or share their prompts that they're using. I encourage the leaders to say, hey, make sure you're organizing your prompt library from your staff so you can, if someone leaves that's really good at this, like you want to learn, you can learn a lot from someone's prompts. Have you found that there, you've mentioned it too, like there's a little kind of hinted at it that like we have to be transparent about this. It's like, I almost feel like people are much less willing to be transparent and own this if it's in the, a little more of the writing creative space versus coding as well. You're almost proud to say, look, AI coded this for me, but less so if it's creating an article for you. Like, have you seen that?
That is kind of the area that we're really trying to dive in. And hence why when you ask that, I think as an IT leader, you have to be upfront. Hence why I say I use it, right? So that it would encourage people to be transparent about that process, to really think through. There are going to be use cases where it's going to be inappropriate, right? And we should not use AI for certain things like writing a whole essay or writing this. But there are use cases where I think it's applicable. And to your point about, you know, with this day and age and when it comes to resources, people leave and people go. So I think sharing the prompt is just one example of many that we can, if we will, I think work as a team and really leverage and see collectively, just like documentation, right? We emphasize that a lot. So at this day and age, I think this is where we're kind of still navigating, but I think we have to talk about it and saying what is appropriate, what's not. And if we could leverage as a team, how do we save those prompts and how do we share those prompts? And even beyond prompt, right? There's custom GPTs that maybe different people in the days that we use script to do things, could their GPT that we can also leverage? So I think there's still opportunity to definitely to explore.
Well, let's get into this, the webinar series that you're launching in the fall called the AI Conversation I mentioned in the intro. What questions are you most excited about? Are you nervous about anything? You know, what do you want to hear from faculty and students?
Jeff, thank you for bringing this up too. I'm super excited. It's really more than a webinar series. I am actually going to leverage this as a platform to empower our campus community. AI is here to stay, and so I think we have an opportunity to shape how it's understood, how it's integrated, and leverage across higher education. This series is about highlighting the ways faculty and staff are actually using AI, whether they're enhancing teaching, improving workflows, or pushing creative boundaries. I'm particularly looking forward to the first few conversations with faculty members from the Department of Art, Design, and Art History. I think I'm going to start off with this because I've spoken to some faculty and AI has been used in this space for at least a couple of years. So I feel that really the experience from these faculty and the approaches that they use in their classroom could be shared really to a wider audience to really talk about it more openly. How does it push the creative boundaries? So in terms of questions, more excited than nervous, you know, I'm really looking to really hear from these faculty, how has AI influenced the way they think about their classroom? How do they approach art and art history today before AI and after, now that AI has been around for at least a few years now? Are there ways that it's challenging the traditional ideas or is it truly opening up new possibilities? I really, what it comes down to is I do really want to hear their use cases in the classroom. But, you know, I know that these conversations may touch on sensitive areas like intellectual property, ethical use, or how we maintain academic integrity. And these are all valid concerns, and I welcome them. So that part of me, I think, is, you know, nervous, but at the same time, I'm really trying to really be direct about it and really hear these conversations, have these conversations. So part of building AI literacy and competency on a campus like this is being willing to have these harder conversations. It's really through these conversations that I feel that we would enable our community to really experiment, reflect, and lead in a world where AI is not a future concept, but a present reality.
That happened fast too. I think a couple of years ago, we might not have said that. Mm-hmm. It's here. I'm excited to be, like, you're in the heart of this. You were at Sacramento, you're at Fresno. The CSU is often seen as a leader, I think, in the world, definitely in the country, in the world, one of the biggest system in the country. It often, people look to California, to the CSU to see like what's happening. It's kind of the starting point for a lot of things. So, you know, I think that could be with AI too, with this OpenAI partnership. We saw this with accessibility, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Yep. You know, California took the lead in like devoting special teams and resources to accessibility, and it still is kind of the leading system. So it's exciting to see you right in the middle of this new frontier. But a lot of it boils down to student success, right? We're all just trying to, it's a great new shiny tool, but I know we all see like, how can it be used for student success? How can we tie this to metrics? And not just AI, but how do you tell that a technology investment is truly helping, let's say, a first-gen student to the finish line on time?
You know, we all, yeah, to your point, we do talk about student success. So I think for me, student success goes beyond numbers. It means that every student, especially our first generation students, feel like they belong, they are supported in their academic journey and has access to the tool that they need to thrive. If a student is struggling, our responsibility is to show up with the right resources. So yes, metric matters, of course, retention rates, timely graduation, student engagement, all help measure impact. But what I really look for are signs that our technology investments are removing barriers. Things like if a student do not have the means to purchase a laptop, you know, we're there. Writing tools like Grammarly. A lot of time our first generation grammar is such a struggle. Could we provide a tool to help them move to the next level? Or just simple things like timely appointment with advisors, right? These may seem small individually, but together they make a huge difference. It really comes down to the impact and the stories of the students and their families. What makes them successful are the metrics that really helps me keep going and what I think really are the investment that we see return. And I'll give you an example. So last year we launched the cybersecurity internship program, and this was really meant to build a pipeline for future professionals. One student with no technical background joined and completed the program. And he thanked me, not just for the technical exposure, but for the experience that helped him grow in terms of leadership, in terms of his communication. He graduated this year, first in his family. And he came back and personally invited me to a celebration at home with his family.
Wow.
Now, that's the kind of impact that I strive for. Investment that don't just move the metrics, right? But change lives. And so to me, when you ask that, that's really what, you know, boils down to is those type of impacts.
I love that story and that answer. When I first started playing around with AI a few years ago, I thought this is the equalizer, mm-hmm. right? All these students have trouble writing an essay. Mm-hmm. Which is a huge difference between maybe the rest of the class. And now they can produce at least, now it's at least B-level work if they get the help they need through AI. But what you pointed out is something I talk about sometimes is this hierarchy of needs. A student needs the basic access to the tools. So I've heard that, well, some of these students don't even have access to a good computer or Wi-Fi. And you talked about that. So I think you're on the right track with get them the basics, the foundation that they need to use these tools. Let's talk about your dissertation. It spotlighted Hmong American women leaders. How does that research inform the way you mentor up-and-coming IT talent?
You know, that seems so long ago.
It wasn't.
But yeah, my dissertation did focus on Hmong American women leaders, which really led to the development of a leadership, if you will, blueprint rooted in agency, cultural wealth, and intergenerational support. You know, that work continues to shape how I mentor emerging IT talent today, especially those from underrepresented backgrounds. I still follow the career paths of some of the women I interviewed, and their journey continues to inform me. When I mentor, I try to be intentional, recognizing each person's background, lived experience, and the strengths they bring to the table. I offer guidance, but I also encourage self-discovery by pointing them to other leaders, many of whom are outside of IT, to study, connect with them, and learn from. So that dissertation has continued to inform my decision, inform the way I mentor others in this IT space and beyond the IT space.
Well, let's talk a little bit about budget. And when every project claims to drive retention and deliver results, how do you separate the nice to have from the must funds?
These are uncertain times. And, you know, like many institutions, we're navigating budget constraints and shifting priorities all the time. So I think when every project is framed around retention, and many are, it takes time to think about it. Sometimes difficult conversations are needed to separate the nice to have and from the must find. And again, I think it really just takes collaboration. I think what has worked is that we have to start focusing on alignment. Does the project support core institutional goals like compliance, student success, operational efficiency? Some projects simply have to move forward because they're tied to regulatory requirements, mission critical systems, or urgent infrastructure needs. Others require a closer look at the data, the scale of impact, the sustainability of the investment. So these, in so many ways, isn't a one-person discussion, in my opinion, and in the experience, is that it's truly a collaborative process that involves, you know, IT leadership, other campus leadership, functional stakeholders, and campus governance group. I think we're all always trying to really look at every request through the lens of strategic value, urgency, and capacity. It's not always easy. But it is necessary if we want to be, you know, responsible stewards of limited resource and still move the university forward. Yeah. So that's really the approach.
Yeah, I like that answer. It's great. Well, I'm going to wrap it up with one last question. If you could give every incoming first-year student one piece of tech advice.
Yeah, it's hard to just give one advice, huh?
You can get more than one, I guess.
I feel that, you know, most students today, when they come through the door, some are tech savvy. So my advice isn't about mastering a specific tool or recommending a tool. If I had to just pick one, I would just say, work with others, use the tools that would help you succeed, and never be afraid to ask for help. Whether it's figuring out a platform, navigating AI, or just, you know, feeling stuck, ask questions. It's really when you ask questions and you encourage that, that becomes a strength in our students. So I always want to also say tech can support your journey, but people will help you through it.
I love that answer. It's so true too. I just had one go through college, one's about to, and realizing they have all these resources there, like go talk to your faculty or the people that you know have these answers. It's like one of the few times you can do that. But it was really great to have you, Bao. We will put links to your LinkedIn in the show notes, as well as your Fresno State's website. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Can I say one other thing?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd reflect and say this because I think I want to give credit to where credit is due. And the progress that we have made since the president launched the AI initiative, it's not about me or the vice provost leading this. It really has been the faculty and the staff that has done the work. And I want to call out the committee who will serve on the AI policy, ethic, and governance really should be given the award. And the partnership with Academic Senate is so critical to really moving such a major force in this landscape. So Academic Senate, the leaders in that, are instrumental. Without that, we would not have gone this far. And I continue to give praise to the faculty and the staff that who are willing to do this work with me and the vice provost. So if others are starting, this is the cornerstone of every strategy, is that the faculty have to be right by your side.
Yeah, it takes a village. And it's obvious from the work you've done, even the hub of digital transformation innovation, Fresno State is becoming known for your leadership. So great call out to all your help out there.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We wrap up this episode. Remember, EdTech Connect is your trusted companion on your journey to enhance education through technology. Whether you're looking to spark student engagement, refine EdTech implementation strategies, or stay ahead of the curve in the emerging technologies, EdTech Connect brings you the insights you need. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an inspiring and informative episode. And while you're there, please leave us a review. Your feedback fuels us to keep bringing you valuable content. For even more resources and connections, head over to edtechconnect.com, your hub for EdTech reviews, trends, and solutions. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.